we'll get along here. We just signed the minutes. So that's taken care of. We need to approve a payment schedule.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Need to approve a payroll.
Make a motion to approve payroll, please.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We've got the Marshall Chamber of Commerce. They would like to use the lawn. They have two events planned. Thursday, October the 20th. It's a trick or treat on the square from 5 to 7 o'clock. Businesses hand out candy in front of their businesses, and we will probably need some electricity. The other date is Friday, December the 4th. Community Christmas starts at 5 o'clock. They have a parade, announcements, and they're asking to use the lobby for Santa to visit the children.
I move we approve.
I second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, approved. There's that. We need to give that to Zach, too, a copy. All right. We got a vacation extension. Sharon Sheffer works with Tony Day. Her employment anniversary date with the county is September the 1st, 2022. At the end of August, I will have 40 hours of approved vacation remaining unless I were to take most of the remaining August days off. At this time, we have several pending projects and grant applications that has to be completed and are due now at the end of the month. So it would be a hardship on the other staff members if I would take it. So I'm requesting to carry over those hours that she will use them not later than December the 31st.
Yeah, that LAPJ grant is when they're all reorganizing. You know, that's the issue. We had to wait for them for months to make a decision which way they were going to go. Now that's finally have.
Right.
We're really close to the grant being completed.
So she's going to use them before December the 31st.
That's the plan, yeah.
Fair motion.
Make a motion to extend her vacation for 90 days.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. All righty. Let's see here. Check. We got a company called Spyglass. And it's wanting, they asked us for the last 2 months of our utility bills, phone bill, internet bill. And they would like to go down through the bills and make sure that we're not being overcharged. There's not a fee. And the money they save us is where they take their fee out of that. Is that right? That's what I understood. So this is just a authorizations to look at our last 2 months of billing.
Okay.
So
moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. All right. Jared, would you want
to? For our sales tax this month, we received $122,646.59. Which is up from last month, $7,800, and up from last year, $8,700. For our law enforcement tax, we received $91,984.73, which is up $5,800 from last month and $6,500 from last year. Our use tax, we received $87,957.16, which is up $48,000 from last month and $33,000 from last year. on our law enforcement tax that sunsets in September of 24, we received $30,756.14, which is up $2,200 from last month and $2,200 from last year. And finally, our economic development sales tax, we received $122,999.23, which is up $9,000 from last month and $9,000 from last year.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Debbie?
Okay, along with payroll being approved, there's commission orders that come along with that, and they are commission order number 6281 for cash transfer for payroll in the amount of $159,029.62. Commission order 6282 for the transfer of 941 payroll taxes in the amount of $28,879.89. And commission order 6283 is for the transfer of serve points 7% in the elective savings, and that is $3,750.91. Need your approval?
Can I make a motion to approve the commission orders?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. I have commission order number 6284 presented on behalf of the auditor Carlin Brashears, and it's for a line item correction from line item 1034-5633-00 to 1035-5650-00 for courthouse repairs. That amount is $32,319.67.
So moved.
Second.
All favor say aye.
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 Motion carried.
Another commission order request on behalf of Auditor Carlin Brashears, commission order 6285 for a letter of destruction for a non-working Canon scanner from her office.
Can I make a motion to approve the letter of destruction?
Second.
All favor.
Aye.
Okay. And this commission order number 6286 is on behalf of Treasurer Jared Brewer, electronic transfer for surf money for the July 22 surf collections in the amount of $10,865.51.
Make a motion to approve, sir.
Second.
Okay.
Favor
say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 liquor license, one for $13 from Holiday Lane, two from Contopal in Arrow Rock, 203 and 303. Collins Pop Shop, two of them for $103 and two for $203. Those are the applications for liquor license.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, that's all I have.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's all from me.
Thank you.
Carla?
I don't have anything.
All righty. Okay. Josh, do you have anything you want to say?
Well, I don't know what's on the agenda, so it was kind of vague.
No. Special counsel to address issues raised. I have Ivan Schrader here with us. He is our legal counsel, and hopefully he can answer your questions.
Thank you, Commission.
I've gone through a list of things. I've gotten correspondence from the commission. I got correspondence, I think, from your office. There have been other kinds of exchanges that have occurred. I am prepared to provide information on most of the issues, so long as it does not interfere with the advice that is privileged with commissioners. And if there are questions, I'll defer to them before I answer, so that it's clear that I have approval to do that. So I've got a list of things. I was just going to go down the list and deal with them as, I guess, easily as they can be dealt with. The first issue is a monetary issue that deals with the question of what's the tax rate that should be assessed for purposes of collections. This is a fourth class county that operates as a second class county. As you know, there is no provision in the Constitution for a split personality commission. And so over time, the state and some counties have engaged in convenient interpretations of where there is a potential conflict between second-class requirements and fourth-class requirements. That issue has been referred to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General's office will issue an opinion, and once that gets here, the commission will take that up.
I believe there actually has been an Attorney General's opinion. Do you have that on you right
now? Yes, I do.
Which I can give you. It was back in 1991, was it?
1990.
The prosecuting attorney has submitted a request specifically as to this county. And given that fact, we're going to be waiting. And we've got time. It's a matter of allocation.
Actually, it is right there. 1991
the
is
issue,
correct.
And then I don't know if you viewed this yet or not, Ivan, but I just want to make sure you have all the information there.
I don't want you to have that. I want you to take the information on it and look it up yourself. That's my copy.
Well, as you know, when the prosecuting attorney requests an opinion, that's part of the prosecuting attorney's responsibility. And as a matter of practice, I don't get in conflict with the prosecuting attorney. They're the primary representative. So we're expecting an opinion from the Attorney General. Hopefully not too long in coming. And once that gets here, then we'll make a determination as to Saline County. I appreciate that there are other counties in the state who have done this. I'm not comfortable that they have or have not made the right decision. But certainly when the Attorney General weighs in, that's going to give us the guidance that we don't currently have.
Sure.
And again, we don't see that there's a timeline problem because when the taxes come in, it's a matter of cutting the county's piece before the distribution of the taxes goes back. So while it's not a change in taxation, it's a reduction of the local government's share of the taxation. Mm-hmm. And so, it will require a motion on the part of the commission to take action depending on what the Attorney General's office recommends. That issue is where it's going to be dealt with.
And you would agree that the Attorney General opinion, though, if it goes to litigation, is not binding upon the court?
No opinion of an attorney is suitable for standing alone. But the Attorney General's opinion carries with it at least some weight, simply because he's charged with providing advice to local governments appropriately submitted.
So is it your stance the Attorney General, if we go to court, would have a greater opinion than any other attorney then? Okay.
Not at all.
I didn't think
not
so.
Not at all. Attorney General is just an attorney with a fancy title. I probably shouldn't say that. There's media, but that's the bottom line. He ran for an office that gave him a title. It didn't change his status as an attorney. And it certainly didn't change his status as an ability to give opinions. So if his opinion is it's collectible, the commission will act. If his opinion is it's not collectible, the commission will act. And that'll set the stage for any particular litigation that might flow. But yeah, his opinion is no better or no worse than mine or yours or any other attorney who wants to weigh in on the issue. So his title doesn't change his status other than give him some statutory authority. The next issue dealt with the closing of a county office and the payment of employees who didn't work. And in this area, it's my opinion that they're not entitled to be paid. And the basis for that opinion is that there are two Missouri constitutional provisions that prohibit the payment of monies to employees who have already been compensated. These employees were compensated for the periods of time in which they worked. They were allowed, if possible, to use benefit time so as not to lose pay. They didn't provide services, and it wasn't a benefit program that was in place as far as I know. So the first provision is you can't pay them a second time for a period in which they've already been paid. The other issue is
they weren't getting paid additional.
The other piece that we deal with has to do with the question of assigning credit or finances to any entity, whether it's individuals or businesses. It is improper under the Constitution to provide any kind of credit or benefit that's unapproved or improper, and these employees didn't work. They certainly have the ability, when they're not working, to use benefit time. And I think there may have been at least one employee who did not get paid because that employee did not have benefit time. The other employees received payment for the benefit time that was allocated. And so those two constitutional provisions are provisions that the county commission has is taking its stand on.
Yeah, and I've read those, and so I just had a couple questions for you on those. Did you have any case law that interpreted those in such a way as to apply to an actual employee for the county or any municipality?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is case.
If you could send that case to me, that'd be great.
I'd be happy to do that, but I'll give you the kind of the title off the top of my head. It's Kizior, K-I-Z-I-O-R. It's a case out of St. Joe, Missouri, which would put it in the same appellate court jurisdiction as Celine. And in that case, the employees were seeking pay for periods of time in which they had not been compensated in a way in which they thought they should have been.
So those are the employees seeking the pay, not their basically person in charge, their boss in front of them?
That's correct. It was the employees who were bringing the action. So there is case law on it. The beauty of the case law is that unless it's interpreted in the Constitution, in this case the Kitzinger case is, the Constitution prevails. So that specific case deals with the general principle of payment for periods of time in which employees have already been compensated. The other provision is a much more general process dealing with the expansion of financial resources to any individual, and the way the Constitution is written, person, corporations, literally covers the whole definition range of entities that function as business entities in the state.
But would you agree there's a minimal amount the assessor has to compensate her employees?
I would agree that the assessor and every county official has a budgetary allocation provided the money is spent properly. And when it's not spent properly, the commission is in a position to protect the treasury. And so the action of the commission in making that decision is in compliance with the oath that the commissioners have taken and a view towards the issue of expenditure of funds.
But the commission isn't to interfere with the proper use of allocated funds. Would you agree with me on that statement?
There's a general principle that budgeted funds, and the case that you cited, which is the Kuiper case, which is an employee-based case, has some general principles that relate to the balance of budget allocations and the administration of an office subject to those appropriations.
And then that office, once subject to those appropriations, may do with those appropriations what they deem fit within their budgetary framework. Would you agree with that?
No.
You would not agree with that?
No, because the budgetary framework has to comply with the constitutional principles. Assuming they comply with the constitutional principles, I would tell you that Kuiper applies. But in this case, the facts are such that the determinations weren't made, and the employees were paid, and it was credited for time not worked.
So it's your argument the county commission makes the determination whether or not they should be paid for that day off, and
the
not
county commission
the
is
county
making
assessor?
Determination with respect to the proper allocation of the funds within the framework of the cases. Kuiper is longstanding. It has, in fact, Judge Heer applied it in a case recently, and his application was generally correct. But I wouldn't argue with that the principles of Kuiper certainly have consideration.
All right, thanks, Ed.
So my girls worked from home watching videos on Apex Sketching.
You know, I don't know what your girls.
Well, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So they did work from home a little bit, I'm sure. I don't manage their phones to know that they watched the videos, but that was the decision. My girls also work for the amount of 9 employees, which they are not compensated for.
Well, that's a different
so
question.
If I can provide them with a day off whenever our books are closed, DMV's closed, we couldn't provide any service anyway, I'm going to do that,
and I
will do it again.
Well, I understand your position, and we have a disagreement as to your ability
that's
to do it.
That's why I'm an attorney.
In which it was done. Certainly there are ways in which it could be done differently.
You know, and in the past, we've got a prosecutor that paid out $23,000 in bonuses for work not provided.
You know, I wasn't asking an opinion on that, and I certainly would have given you the opinion you just got, because bonuses are also illegal.
Yeah. Well, but our commission didn't say anything about that.
Well, they didn't ask.
Yeah, it was in session and they approved it.
So that deals with that one day.
And it's interesting you said bonuses are not approved. Isn't there currently a bonus right now that's already been approved by the commission that applies to every county employee?
It's not a bonus. It's an additional payment for time moving forward.
So it's going to be forever a $1.50 increase?
No, it was a supplemental pay. What you call it is not critical, but a supplemental pay for those elected officials who wanted to apply the money to their employees. And to the extent that it's being applied by elected officials to the employees, the elected
officials... It's not being applied by the elected officials.
The elected officials will determine what it has impacted on the budget, and the county commission in November and December have the ability to adjust budgets to reflect those issues. And so what the county commission did was it offered ARPA monies, which is a grant to the county for expenditure at the county's discretion. And the county commission, as I understand it, requested of the respective elected officials, do you want to pay your employees additional money for the hours between whatever the effective date was through the end of December? And if the answer is yes, those monies are being paid out of ARPA and will be, to the extent necessary, will be handled in budgetary transfers, not budget adjustments. If money were to be made now, it would require the county commission and all of the elected officials to go back through the budgetary process. And I can tell you from having observed it for 30 years, give or take, it is a nightmare to have to do that in the middle of the year. And when you've got money to get you through to the transfer period in November, December, it doesn't require all of that process. It matters that the board, that the commission look at where monies are that have been unexpended and make orders to transfer monies from unexpended, unencumbered funds into those areas where funds may be needed to finish out the fiscal year.
Yeah, it seems to me we may be splitting hairs a little bit, but I mean, an increase in pay is an increase in pay. All the money's coming from the general revenue fund. What if the same principles apply to how it's allocated?
It's not coming from the general revenue fund.
It's coming out of my
budget. It's going to be coming out of ARPA. Those are federal funds that have been committed to the county, and the county's made a commitment to use those funds if the elected officials want to compensate their employees, and that those monies will be then transferred over at an appropriate time in the amounts that are calculated. So, and the use of terms, counsel, as you know, makes a difference in terms of how you apply things. But a bonus is illegal. Supplemental pay going forward with fixed dates and amounts is not improper.
Okay, so if she decided to hire someone on a salary instead of hourly, that would be proper as well, wouldn't it?
No, it would not.
Okay.
and again, it would not be proper because the Fair Labor Standards Act has an application as to whether or not a person is hourly or salary, regardless of what you say in the budgetary process. But if an employee's job duties qualify them for hourly compensation, even though they may have been allocated a salary, for purposes of payroll, you have to calculate it on an hourly basis, and then for purposes of overtime, using those numbers to calculate it. So you could have $1,000 salary annually, $1,000 a month, and if the person works 60 hours in round numbers, first off, they would be underpaid, but assuming that they weren't underpaid, then you would calculate those figures. So it has nothing to do with state law, it has everything to do with federal law, Fair Labor Standards Act.
And doesn't just depend on the...
If you're not familiar with that, I'd be more happy to provide you with those.
I am familiar in the far salary and hourly, it depends on the duties of the office, but I'm saying, should the duties of the office, one of her assistants, qualify for salary under the Fair Labor Standards Act, she would be able to do that properly.
Correct.
And then they could actually take off the entire year and still be paid that salary properly.
Well, you know, that poses a different question in terms of the issue of credit. You know, that poses, okay. If I'm going to pay you not to work, you better have some reason in order to do that.
But at the end of the day, it would still be proper for her to have a salary employee. I'm saying it follows under the white-collar exception, basically.
It is proper to have salaried workers in any office. How you deal with them for purposes of federal law and calculation is driven by the definitions and the job duties and responsibilities. I might say, as a matter of fact, though, that not many county employees qualify for salary under the federal definition as defined. Well, they certainly may qualify under state law to be called salaried. It's a budgetary consideration, not a legal consideration.
All right, thanks.
I think my response to the ARPA funds covered the issue of the ARPA funds and who's responsible for them. It's kind of commission. That's a federal grant to the local governments for purposes of expending at the local government's choice within the parameters of the regulations.
Absolutely. You understand those funds currently right now are not ARPA funds. They're coming from the assessor's fund for her paper.
You know, I don't know where the funds are coming from. I know where they will be coming from eventually.
So basically, we have your word that the county commission will correct the assessor's budget by the end of the year.
That's the county commission's public commitment that once those funds have been determined, calculated properly, that the budgets will be adjusted by moving the ARPA funds into those budgets. So even though at current projections there may be a deficit, by the time you get to November, early November, mid-November, transfers can be made from ARPA into those funds.
And is there any sort of commission order that states that they're planning on doing this in November or December, or any sort of memorandum that's been circulated?
I haven't looked at formal action. I know what my clients have advised me they will do.
So is the commission going to issue a formal order that this is going to occur, or are they going to, I believe the state auditor actually has a letter right now, they are trying to circulate to solve this issue, or are they in agreement to circulate
that? Given the state auditor's position as an outsider with some statutory responsibilities
or
to
county
identify.
Auditor, sorry.
Yeah,
as the county auditor,
county
not
auditor
state
has
auditor.
Requested a letter, and no letter has been presented yet.
Okay, well then we're not where we need to be in terms of what the state auditor may advise. But you know, again, there's a confusion on the part of a lot of people, but not those of us who work with them. But the state auditor is not necessarily a lawyer. Their opinion doesn't carry the force and effect of legal opinions. It is just an opinion from an auditor who has some general oversight and responsibilities for looking at local government records and reporting. And recently, it also requires now that the auditor report the deficiencies, responses from local government that had never been reported before, because the auditor's office, for whatever reason, didn't deem it necessary to deal with local government's opinions on their own money.
Okay, well, I mean, all we really want at the end of the day, and what the assessor is asking for, is what the county auditor has basically proposed to the commission, is my understanding. A letter that states, you know, the county commission is committed to give these ARPA funds back to the individual departments, because it's causing shortfalls in the assessor's office. My understanding is possible in the county clerk's office and other offices as well right now.
It's possible it could occur in every office because the size of the amount, in my experience, is a fairly nice piece of increase for a limited period of time. And my recollection, although I'm picking from memory, is it's in the nature of a dollar and a half an hour. And so, you know, that's a chunk of money if you're making $10 or even $15 an hour.
So you can understand then my need for a letter. I mean, wanting a guarantee.
Absolutely. And you know, to the extent that I have consulted with the commission, the representation I made today is my understanding is the way they will address it.
Do you believe they're going to move forward with the, or at least signing on with what the county auditors already sent them? Is there any sort of guarantee they're willing to put a firm commitment in before it is what we're asking?
You know, I haven't discussed that piece with them. What the discussion is timing, primarily, and that is when would those adjustments back to the budgets be made? And the advice I would make to any county is wait to November, because otherwise everybody in the county has to go through the budgeting process under the statutes, and that's a nightmare.
So
if you don't believe that, then talk to your elected officials who have to deal with it in August or September and sometimes as late as December for purposes of trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do in January, between January 1 and January 31st. I'll be perfectly honest with you, I have never had an elected official tell me that they will enjoy the budget process.
And I understand your position there. But so it's your position that even if they sent a letter basically stating this is where the funds are coming from, we are planning to get this process done in November, that they could only do that through the budget process. We couldn't have a discussion here today and an open meeting to resolve the issue.
Well, I was here today to express those issues that have been raised, and discussion of the issues is beyond that parameter. The commission has its ability to do what it wishes. They have been given advice in terms of where my advice is it is easier to do. with a commitment to those elected officials that have decided that they would allow their employees to receive the extra money. And I don't know that anything else needs to be done at this point in time.
So they have given a commitment now? That's my question is, where's the commitment coming from? So we don't have anything on that.
The commitment will be made in December, or excuse me, in November or December when the budget transfers can be made. You can't make a commitment to transfer money from one place to another until you know where they're unencumbered budgeted funds that can be pulled from anywhere. So those decisions would be made at the time the finances are available. And as we know, the treasurer has a regular financial report that comes to the commissioners, that tell the commissioners what the expenditures of funds are. The auditor does the same in most counties. I would assume from my experience here that this auditor is pretty good about watching the finances and would be apprising the commission in terms of shortfalls, if there are shortfalls. At that point in time is when the commissioners will address the problem.
And have you discussed with the county commission their authority over the assessment fund and being able to take those funds to pay her employees without her authorization?
The question of the use of funds was raised as a result of the assessment fund question, if I remember correctly.
Well, the ARPA funds are directly correlated because
The ARPA funds are discretionary with the county.
And I agree with you, Ivan, but currently right now it's not ARPA funds that are being used. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background, so the assessor's office has employees, and currently right now those employees are paid solely out of the assessment fund pursuant to statute, because that's what the assessment fund is used for. However, the county assessor has not actually authorized an increase in pay, but the county commission has given an increase in pay to all the employees and taken that from our budget, which is what's causing the issue.
Well, my understanding is that there was one office, I think it's the assessor's office, who has not authorized the additional payments. What that office has asked for is give me the money and I'll spend it the way I can spend it. And the commission doesn't have to do that.
Really? Because I have never said anything. There's never been any communication whatsoever. This is the only email that I have received, and it does not say my opinion or my thoughts on it. It says if your employee does not want ARPA pay. It doesn't have anything in here about my decision or my thoughts.
Well, if you haven't expressed it one way or the other to the commission, then the commission's operated properly. But I've seen your communication.
My understanding is that it was coming from ARPA. Never said coming from my budget. If I knew it was coming directly from my budget, that would be an issue. Until there's true communication, I can't.
Well, I'm here.
Well, so am I.
And I'm giving you what I'm authorized to provide in terms of trying to clarify what the circumstances are and the questions that have been posed.
And I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out, what your opinion is as far as the powers the county commission has in order to take funds from the assessment fund for a payment that they solely authorized.
Well,
basically
they wouldn't be making the transfer. That's the money that's in the elected official's budget, particularly as it deals with payroll, addressed by Kuiper, which is the case we were talking about earlier, because it says you can spend what you got. And so to the extent you spend what you got, it covers it. Now, in this case, what the commission has said is, like, we've got this money that we control. If you want to make these payments, we'll make adjustments at the appropriate time in the fiscal year.
But that's not what they said.
We haven't seen any correspondence, any commission order, any official act to show that's what it's going to be, or even just a general letter from the commission stating that, which is what we're asking for, Ivan.
I understand what you're asking for. But, the commissioners are free to act as time allows. And with the advice dealing with budget allocations versus transfers, fiscal periods of time, the commission's not in a position where it has to act yet.
It has
choices that it can make. And a choice, in elected officials' genre, a choice goes from doing nothing to doing everything within the parameters of that elected official's office. And if an elected official wants to do something, under the Kuiper decision, they have pretty good latitude. If they don't want to do something, they can also say, well, I'm just going to turn money back at the end of the year because I had somebody leave and I didn't need the money. I'm which is also possible. That's a do nothing.
But at this point, we have a do something. The commission has done something, i.e. put a $1.50 raise, and then taken the money from the assessment fund.
They made it available to be applied to employees based on what the elected officials have identified for.
It's my understanding the ARPA funds aren't available yet, and my understanding that you said they're not going to be available till the end of the year.
You're incorrect there, Councilman. ARPA funds are coming out in two different ways, and the first half was already allocated, and there's a second half that I understand is going to be out the next week or so. It will be representative of about the same amount of money that was obtained before, but the federal government decides when it sends its checks and in what amounts. But that, my understanding is that that second check will be similarly situated to the first check that paid for half of what the counties were allocating.
Carlin, have we gotten the second round of ARPA funds?
Yes.
So all the funds are there available, and it could be all the county offices could be made whole at this point.
That's a discretionary decision for the county commission.
That's a little easier said than done, because each individual employee is pulled out of a single line item. Each employee is assigned a line item. I would have to do adjustments every payroll for every employee that we have in the county. It is simpler to do it in November, December, due to the fact that we will have their total hours and their total amount paid, and do one transfer.
And which I don't have a problem with that, as stated in my letter. I just want confirmation to know that, in fact, that money will be replenished to my budget.
I've explained to you the rationale of not making a decision now based on the process you followed.
And I'm still trying to figure out, because I don't understand how the county commission has the power to take those funds from the assessor without the assessor's blessing, basically.
The county didn't take the money from the assessor. The assessor determined she wasn't going to spend it that way until she got the money put in her budget. At least that's as I understand it. And that being the case, and that's from your correspondence to me, which was not responded to. So if that information is correct, putting the money in the assessor's budget doesn't limit it to the $1.50 per hour. It puts it in the assessor's budget to be spent any way the assessor wants. And the county commission is only allocated an hourly amount for periods going forward as a supplement to the pay for county employees based on the availability of federal monies.
Well, absolutely. But the county commission has control and power over general revenue, the ARPA funds. I completely agree with you. But these funds are not coming from there, Ivan. The funds are coming from the assessor fund, which is protected under the statute and only to be available for the assessor for the use of her employees as she deems fit.
The assessor's made a determination as to what she wants her employees to be paid, and that would come out of the assessment fund. So that's a decision that we're not taking anything away from the assessor.
You're taking money.
And she hasn't authorized a $1.50 increase, Ivan. I mean, I understand
if I authorize zero, there is no adverse impact on any budget. Period.
Okay, well, she's authorized zero. The adverse impact's still the $1.50 because payroll's still taking it out. It's coming out of her assessment fund. And she doesn't have any sort of guarantee she's going to have this budget shortfall fixed. And this opaqueness that we have today just on this issue is just part of the reason why she's concerned this isn't going to happen in December.
You know, as harsh as this may sound, there are 10 or 11 elected county officials, all of whom have their own independent authority. The county commission happens to be three that work as one, but they are not in a position to guarantee or to order certain activities of any particular elected officials on any given issue. Mm-hmm. On this case, they control the money. They've said when the money will be available, but based on what's been expended, as chosen by the elected official for those employees.
They haven't said when the money is going to be available, and they haven't submitted an order showing that yet. We don't even have a letter circulated to the concern. Missing the question on here. So.
No, I understand. As far as I know, there's not been an official position taken, but that's their choice.
So the official position right now is we do not know if those funds will be available at the end of the year because no official position has been taken.
No, that is not the position.
Okay, well, thank you, Ivan. I appreciate you helping clear this up a little bit.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You want a letter. Is
that it? Absolutely. Any
what?
any person that is in charge of a budget would want guarantee.
Rattle on.
I am.
Rattle.
No communication, Kyle. I'm here.
That's
communication.
Right. No communication.
I have sent email after
because
email
I
with
said
no,
no
response.
To your 20,000 dollar flyover.
That has nothing to do
yes,
with anything.
Yes, it does.
I'm sorry that you feel that it does, but
oh,
it does
I'm
not.
I'm so sorry too.
I'm sorry.
You're
sorry, okay. Kyle.
Commissioner, there were some additional items that I was asked to address today. Just briefly, I received a communication which I was asked to take a look at, and there were several items that the commission asked me to kind of address. The first issue deals with the use of sales tax and the characterization of the sales tax. Characterization of the sales tax is the limitation for whatever period of time that the county commission or the entity that adopts it decides it's appropriate, provided it fits in the category of economic development. So you can spend it or you can sit on it, and you can spend it out over time. And so there are several projects where projects apparently are either under consideration or have been under consideration and have been approved, but they have spaced timing that doesn't match with the original concept of the project timing. And that's fully within the ability of the commission to decide, provided they're paying the bills as they come due into the contracts. And so for purpose of economic development, projects generally are not paid all up front. You know, giving money away without getting the service of the project is probably, I couldn't recommend that to any client, not local government at any rate. There was a project that's been attributed to Saline County, represented to me to be the Steamboat Project. Steamboat Project is not a county project, period. So the county commission has no authority over that project. You certainly can report anything you want, but you're not, as I understand it, there's no revenue being expended. It's not a county project, even though local governments may have promoted the concept. It is not a tax-funded base project, and therefore the county has no responsibility for it.
Ivan?
Yes.
The commissioners paid the lobbyist who was running the project, and his sole purpose and task was the project.
Well, my understanding is that that particular individual had several projects for which he was being appended, and those would be addressed in terms of how the checks were arranged and processed through the auditor, the treasurer, commission.
And you realize they ran through MSDC.
I don't know how those checks were allocated.
I can explain it to you.
Well, the question was use of county funds. Steamboat Project is not a county project.
There are written answers to that question from the commissioners saying that he's working on the steamboat.
Well, you know, I could be working on a steamboat. I mean, that's...
I'm just saying your statement's false.
You're entitled to your opinion. With respect to the intersections of 70 and 65, my understanding that is and has been a collaborative effort between MoDOT and the county, and the county's free to allocate road and bridge or other resources for purposes of advancing economic development, for advancing road and bridge, for advancing a whole range of things. I drive 70 regularly, and I'm periodically irritated because 65 and 70 intersections seem to be under construction all the time, or at least pieces of it. Sewer district project, I think, was another one the county is working with, and that's, it's my understanding, that's a collaborative effort with local governments, multiple local governments. The contracts for those projects are public record, and to the extent they are public record, anybody could go down and get copies of them. They should be at the county clerk's office. And if not, someone needs to ask the question, where are they? Because that's where they belong. Which brings me to the county clerk. The county clerk is not secretary to the county commission. Statute is clear, chapter 51. The county clerk is the repository for the records of the commission, not the taker or the maker. And under those circumstances, the county commission can decide who takes their minutes, if anybody. But once they have been adopted, they go to the county clerk, and the clerk is legally responsible for preserving those records. I don't know about individual records, but that's the general principle in chapter 51. County commission scheduling meetings.
Sorry?
County commission can schedule its own meetings when it chooses, provided it does it in the minimum. When it holds a meeting where it is conducting business, it must meet the sunshine law, period. So those are the general parameters. Those are the issues that I determined were in the exchanges of correspondence. I'm going to check one more question for council.
So I think you covered our three areas already.
I think I have, but I wanted to make sure, since you're here,
That
I'm going to deal with them all. So those are the issues that I was asked to provide responses to. You don't have to agree with the county commission. That's an elective issue. But that's their responsibilities. And once elected, as with the other county officials working within their statutory framework, they're free to exercise the authority that they have.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be up here.
Great. All right. Tony.
Yes, what?
He was here for Sharon.
I was here for Sharon's.
Okay.
Yes, she's here.
All righty, room. Is there a motion to reset?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Cindy's on.
Sorry, I just want to talk about tax sale. It's Monday. it's coming up, it's not as exciting. I have 51 properties on the sale. 20 of those are post third. I've got 40 registered bidders, most that I've ever had. Least number of properties I've ever had. So that will be Monday morning, 10 o'clock. Registration's closed, so you guys put that paper. Registration is closed. It ended yesterday.
I just want to do it today.
That's it. Sorry.
Good luck at the fair.
Thanks.
Friday. We're recessed.